Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're with me on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4. You can call, you can text, you can email dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. Hope you had a blessed and wonderful and fun and great and joyous weekend, even if it was filled, like mine was, with little tiny, as one friend of mine says, death by a thousand It's out of my brain now. That's how my weekend was going, exactly like this is right now. Something like death by a thousand ducks or something. It's like, you know, this image of all these little ducks pecking away at you. And now you have what's going on here. Last night, I forgot to turn off my telephone, and there was someone from a different state, different time zone, who sends around these prayers, and they're great, and they're always wanted. However, it came around at 3:00 in the morning, my time. So you have Dr. Michelle with 3 hours of sleep. This is Dr. Michelle, 3 hours of sleep. All right. So this weekend was filled in my life. See if you can connect with this. There are times when, you know how, like when you stumble over everything, you know, like I drop a blueberry on the floor and then my dog steps in it and then it goes over to my carpeting, and I take my coffee, my prized little coffee mug that I got from a patient of mine I've just had for quite some time now. It's just so sweet. And I just happened to be picking it up, turning my head, getting ready to get on the computer, and boom, it hits just in the right way that the handle gets knocked off. And then I go down to my car, and it's like, it's starting to squeak and rattle, and one of the windows sounds like it's starting to go out. One thing after another. And then there was a case of mistaken identity where I met two people. One of them was when I was at the kennel and getting my German Shepherd a bath. And the person was outside with another German Shepherd, sweet as can be. We were talking, et cetera, and talking to him, talking to his wife, talking to their little grandbaby. And he was going to text me about this particular dog. And ironically, on Sunday, I met a guitar player in the choir at church and was telling them what a great sound this person had, because they really did. And he said, well, gee, you know, we'll practice some time together. Or I asked him if he taught at all. And it was just really nice. So I gave him my number. So I don't know either of these people. Both of their names start with an L, and I didn't know their phone numbers. So I get this text, just nice meeting you. Great. And then I get a picture of these German Shepherds. And the person who played guitar also remarked that they had three German Shepherds. So I get this picture of three German Shepherds. And I thought, well, that's a little odd for someone I just met at the, it was only a couple hours after the after Mass. I said, oh, that's maybe a little odd. Maybe that's a little too personal, even though it's only the Shepherds. And we were talking about dogs and how they're a special breed of dogs. But I thought, well, that's cool. And so I said, well, you know, thank you. It was great meeting you. And I'm very, you know, thank you for being open to do lessons and practicing and things like that. And if we can. And I said, how about if we meet, and then I named this church St. Raphael's. And he said, I got a text back like, well, what's St. Raphael's? And I thought, who is this? I had no idea. It turns out it was the guy that I met at the kennel. And that was the dog that I had met. That was that German Shepherd with his two German Shepherds. So it was all this mistaken identity. He thought I was completely nuts. because he's going, well, what are you talking about? He goes, now I'm really lost. And I'm trying to just in texting is awful. So we're going to talk a little bit about what happens in text and emails and why that is a just sucks you in, but it's so bad. And yet it can be great, of course, but at the same time, it can really mess people up. And we know this. There are articles written about this. There are in services about texting and emails and how it is supremely the reader that sets the tone. Now, you can tell if somebody's really angry a lot of times, but there are some people who don't understand or they don't use a lot of texting. Let's say they send you something in all capitals. Well, in the texting world, that means they're mad. But maybe for them, they're just emphasizing. Maybe you hear something. Maybe there's a certain sentence structure that just trips your trigger. And you're thinking, well, what? That's kind of snarky of them. And they're not snarky at all. They're not getting something. Or when I hear this person say, now I'm really lost, I could interpret it either they're saying, you are completely out of touch, lady, with life, and I don't want anything left else to do with you, and I am not going to even look at you if you happen to come back to the kennel. Or it could have been, gee, you know, I'm kind of lost in this, so, you know, do you want to talk about the dog? Or, you know, there's different ways that I can interpret what those words say. So that really, really hangs you up. So that's what my weekend was like. And I think it's a really a nice prelude into not only how we interpret the written word, the texting word, the email word, and how that can get us into big, big, big trouble. It also can be a great hiding place as well for your teenagers, can't it? Where they kind of tell the truth, but they let you fill in the blanks. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And I also want to talk about the main topic is going to be about how we limit ourselves in our own thoughts, our own paradigms, our own understanding of the world outside of us and around us, and how that actually physiologically tests have shown it is proven that we limit ourselves. We may believe and say with our mouths that we believe all things are possible. We may say with our mouths that we believe that God can do radical healing. We may say with our mouths that God makes all things new, and we just hope and we hope and we hope. And yet we keep getting sucked down because really part of us is holding out. Part of us has our ethereal little fingers behind our back saying, well, yeah, but not this. Or within the constructs of me going to church and standing up and sitting down and standing up and sitting down. And then I say the words and I see evidence in, I believe about the saints, but no, that's not going to happen for me. Look, I am genetically programmed to do X, Y, Z. I want to dispel some of those things for you today. And part of what I want to do is go to a conversation that I had with a very dear friend of mine over the weekend as well. It was a wonderful visit. That went really well. But there was a conversation with a very Catholic friend and her husband about the limitations of someone's genetics, a friend of theirs. And how, of course, if you get tested for certain genetic markers and you find that you have the genetic marker for either breast cancer or early Alzheimer's or any other genetic marker, that's pretty much a done deal. Well, we're finding that now if you have done that, sure, go. You need to get checked out, of course. So again, that little caveat, no diagnosis here. This is not substitute for any kind of medical advice, but we're going to look at all sides. We're going to look at as much as we can to say, you know, as we gain more information, if we get tied to that, then we are dooming ourselves. We are dooming ourselves. Yesterday's discovery is today's old news, and we find out how these quote sound barrier is broken. Remember that? There were these barriers they knew existed, but they hadn't broken them yet. And it wasn't until technology caught up with physics, theoretical physics, that there was the sonic boom. I remember when the sonic boom was a huge thing. It was like, wow, that means this is really something really has happened here. We've split the sound barrier. We're really, you know, we are so space age. And now it's like, who even knows what that is? Because that's like old news. Now we're having like stealth things and drones and invisible ships and all kinds of things that who cares about the sonic boom? That was way back then. It's kind of like the hat pin. We don't really use them. We know they existed. If we look, a lot of people out there today would say, well, what the heck are you talking about? What do you mean hat pin? You know, it wouldn't even make sense to them. So I want to get into the limitations that we set on ourselves. We'll start off talking a bit about the email and the texting. Have you had like major rifts with someone in the workplace, at home, with your spouse or significant other, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your kids? Big rifts. And everyone finally is getting angry at each other, and they don't even know why, because it's the way that the you think, oh, don't try to explain this in a text. Don't do this. Don't let those thumbs go one more inch, and yet you can't stop yourself, and you try to explain it in a text, and then the person writes back, and they're confused, and yet that makes you kind of angry. Those things happen every day, multiple times a day, and they probably happen to you, to where you're dreading it, but you're compelled to continue on. What does that sound like? You know, that happens a lot in life. You dread it, you continue on. But what about if we break out of those molds? What about how we joke and say, well, gee, I could have just called. You could have resolved the issue in a fraction of the time that it took you to wait for the text, get the text, type the text, correct, autocorrect, send it, wait, get emotional, get angry, and you could have just picked up a phone. And we just don't seem to avail ourselves of those things. Because, why? Because we put ourselves in a little mental box, that this is the new reality, and outside this reality box, nothing else exists. Well, I'm going to show you how that could even put a cap on your healing. It could put a cap on God. It could put a cap on your future. So we're going to come back and see how to maybe integrate some of this stuff and how to leave ourselves open while still being firmly planted on the ground. This is Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and we are walking together on this road of life, Dr. Michelle Live. We're doing it live. We don't seem to have a choice, do we? If we're listening to this, here we are. Today's the day, with blueberries on the floor and misinterpreted texting and mistaken identities and cars falling apart and breaking cups and tripping over things. I missed an appointment this morning because of the text that came, beautiful text. It was somebody was texting a prayer, but it was 3 o'clock in the morning, my time. And so normally that still wouldn't be a problem. I still would be up before dawn, but it didn't happen today. So, you know, it's like you just have one of those days. This is one of those days. Now, what if you have a series of one of those days? Well, sometimes, as we are talking about now, it can give you a misinterpretation of life. It can reinforce negative feelings you have about yourself. You are no good. You can't do anything right. If you had just been more organized, you wouldn't have a blueberry on the floor, or you would have not tripped over the paper bag sitting on the floor, or you wouldn't have been so consumed with all these different attention getters that you end up breaking, as I did, a favored cup. Something now, you know, I've had that for a long time, and the handle just hit just right, and boom, there it goes, clink. I mean, how many times have you had a cup or something fall on a tile floor, and by all rights, it should be shattered, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. I had an actual structure, a little tiny one-room, basically fishing shack, that was blown away, literally blown away, a mile and a half from where it stood on pilings during a hurricane. And after, and it was such a violent hurricane that it not only washed away the road, it made an entire inlet where dolphins were swimming in and out of the inlet. And no one could get to that particular area for a couple months. And when I go back and find out that the tiny little place is laying over on its side a mile and a half inland, I went into it. I mean, I saw it, I found it, and I went into it because you had to kind of climb off to the side and everything's falling. You know, it's just, it was very weird. It was literally kind of almost completely on its side. And it was, you know, it was still, you could see the structure and there was a door. So kind of climbing through that part where you could. And there it is in all kinds of shambles everywhere. And I opened this cabinet and there were two wine glasses that had not broken. So, you know, how does that happen? I don't know. But so here I am, fast forward, you know, 15 years or whatever, and I'm breaking this beautiful little mug, this little stone mug that was lovingly picked out for me. And I just turn and lightly clink it against something. And I think it was the side of my desktop, and boom, it's gone. Didn't fall. Wasn't even a hard thing. It was just a little knock. Now, whatever happened to it, maybe, you know, that would have happened as I'm walking downstairs. Anything could have happened. So, but the whole point is that how do we interpret that? Is that going to be the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back, where you just keep shoving it in and shoving it in and shoving it in? You know, I need to do this. I need to do that. You've got this mountain of stuff and that one last thing. It's kind of like road rage in your mind. You know, it's that one last thing that just sets you off. Where does that come from? And how can we help dissect that a little bit? And how can we help prevent some of that? Well, in our own lives, we're going to start little and we'll get big. So we're going to start little with the email and texting situation. And then we're going to get into how you limit yourself, you limit your God, you limit your future, you limit your lifespan, you limit your way of being. And I want to go into that conversation that I had with someone who's very dear to me. I've known her almost for all but like 7 years of my life. I mean, I've known her a long time. Extremely practical, extremely stable, lovely, lovely, lovely person. And we're having this conversation and I'm hearing what she's saying, but it's not sitting right with me. And I didn't understand why until I came back and I pondered a while. And then I happened to read a little book or part of a book that I will tell you about by a gentleman who, through his own trials, came up with a lot of research, and he's written a lot on the subject of how there are studies out there that show, yeah, we really do limit ourselves. And we can limit ourselves physically. We can reverse things physically inside of us by mental change. Now, we'll get to that, though, because it is very consistent. This is not a new age situation. Now, a lot of the studies cross. So I'd love to be able to say Catholics have a handle on that because of faith. Well, that's not the case. Catholics are people like anybody else, Christians and Muslims, Jews. We're all just people. So we're going to do the same kinds of things. And we are prone to the same kinds of external forces and training. Propaganda works on us whether we're back in ancient times or whether we're here in 2016. The names change, the methods change, the pictures change, but the message is the same. I need to sell you something, an idea, a product, a wife, a husband, you know, way back. I need to do something. I will find a way to do it, either by force or by coercion. That's the outside forces. That's spiritual forces, negative spiritual forces, personal forces, from the smallest component down in abusive relationships to being in a government and being in a country and being on the globe. those are the forces that we always have to deal with. So how do we become, how do we react when we're going to go back down to the little now, when we get those texts or when we send those texts and we're trying to spend our mind, you know, if we could plug in, and I know people have done this, I don't have the study for me for in front of me. But if you could plug into the actual places, the energy consumption, the calories burned, wouldn't that be nice if we get great abs by just being frustrated with text? But the calories that this amazing thing called the brain eats up and utilizes in churning over, how do I word this? And oh my gosh, there's the autocorrect again. Oh, I've got to pay attention. Oh, what if they think this? What if they think that? I've only got 2 seconds. Type, 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 type. You accidentally hit delete and then everything's gone. You got to start over. Or you have, it's almost going and then you see this horrible word that it autocorrected into something that makes no sense at all. And then you start the war. All of a sudden, someone's like, well, what are you talking about? And then you take that antagonistically, or it's your kid saying, you know, you just don't trust me on a text. You know, how do you deal with that? Oh, you just don't trust me. Are you going to text back? Oh, yes, I do. But you have to be home at 10. You know, then you get this little war that in your front of your face, you have all the tools you need. You have a look, you have a smell, you have an energy exchange, an actual literal wave exchange with voices and wind patterns and light and look, and you have all these different senses with which to battle the certain situation, to change with it each tiny little nuance as it comes at you. Everything. You can see whether your child might be softening a little bit, or whether they're kind of like, you can tell their look as they're looking off thinking, oh, how am I going to get out of this one? Or you can kind of get a glimmer that, they're lying to me about something. And then you can smell something on them, or maybe alcohol, anything. Well, if you're just in a texting situation, you are automatically handicapped at that level. You cannot have full access to all of your tools. You are limited. You are limited. And then your frustrations and it's the human word made flesh. We're made in God's image and likeness, and we can go big awry. We can just go awry. We're natural beings, the non-corporal beings, the angels, they are preternatural, and God is supernatural. That's just our little stratospheres. There's probably a whole bunch of little things in between we don't get, but that's a pretty good start. So we're natural beings, and we're only going to react certain ways. So we spend an enormous amount of mental energy, and then we create. The word is made flesh. We create our own reality. And if we could see on the other side of that text, and we could see the looks on their faces, maybe they're in danger, maybe they just lost their purse and they're afraid to tell you. There could be so many things. Taking this example of the teenager again, you're texting them, they're texting you, and they have in their mind what you're probably looking like and doing, and it could be so far from the truth. It could not be that at all. You could have just cut your leg on that cup that fell on the ground. And you're trying to, like, you know, stop the bleeding while you're trying to text. And you don't want to come across the wrong way. And so enormous amounts of energy, enormous amount of adrenals going, enormous amount of cascades. One single thought sends your whole body into a full-on 100% ready to fight or ready to relax state. Every single organ in your body with a single thought. That is the truth. And again, think about that in the word made flesh as we go off to the break. Not in God's word made flesh, because that's always good. But in our word made flesh, we can create. It's always the Duke Ferdinand that starts World War I. You know, the one little thing that can be misinterpreted, twisted, that creates people a huge, giant action that can cost enormously. So we're going to revisit this on the other side of the break and go into more about you personally and you and your health and your mind. This is Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am Dr. Michelle, and you're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. So before the break, you know, getting into this whole concept of how we, our word can be made flesh, to where we are so acting on the presumption that how we're texting someone and what we're receiving is an actual truth. And step back. What is all that? It's nothing. It's fake. It's something in, let's take my example of getting the wrong person. I'm thinking I'm talking to the musician I just met. So in that particular moment, I'm thinking that this person who is awkward and a little shy and very nice and sweet and giving, but that perhaps, you know, they wanted to, maybe they were a little inappropriate. I don't know them, and I'm getting pictures of their dogs. And not that that's bad necessarily. And I have a pretty high tolerance for, you know, little things that don't seem within convention. But at the same time, I thought, well, you know, I hope that we understood each other and, you know, everything is cool. But it wasn't even him. So I'm spending all that time. And it never dawned on me that actually it came from, I totally forgotten that I met the couple who had the German Shepherd. I totally forgot that. I just figured, you know, it was just something that we just exchanged phone numbers, and because they fostered German Shepherds all the time, and I thought maybe one day I'd want another one. And, you know, it was just mistaken identity. And meanwhile, the German Shepherd guy is getting frustrated, wondering what's even St. Raphael's? What is that? Obviously, they're not Catholic, not Catholic around there. It wasn't just where is it? It's what is it? What is St. Raphael's? And because I'm assuming I'm talking to someone else. So they're getting frustrated. I try to explain it in a text and it makes them more lost. And then I try to explain the explanation. And then I don't want to sound dismissive. So here I'm worried about my imaginary scenario of what this person I have only met for 3.5 minutes around a dog, how they feel about things, how that they're feeling badly or they're feeling confused or they feel or they're wondering, is this person, you know, somebody I should ever adopt a dog to or whatever. And it's probably none of the above. So all that made my word made flesh, and that took hours. In fact, it went into the next day because then I didn't look at my phone and on. So we do that on a personal level every single day with our family, our friends, our coworkers, our bosses, and we end up getting let's say your boss wants you to come in on a Saturday and you get a text, I will guarantee you that if I could hook you up to some kind of EEG with your head for your brain and test the skin galvanization of your skin and see, you know, all the different responses to anxiety, fear, and anger, the fight or flight response, and you'd be in a fight response at that. Well, you'd be probably in both at that point, which is pretty much will show up as the same thing. So you're in your flight or fight mode. I can guarantee you pretty much that it would be much higher. The scales would be much, you'd be off the charts, or you'd be much higher getting the text than you would, or popping up and having an email rather than just a phone call that said, hey, can you come in? You can hear the person's voice. If they're urgent and angry and upset and freaking out, like their whole business is going to collapse if you don't come in, or hey, so-and-so's sick, can you come in? Sometimes people in the needing to be brief end up sounding very rude. But this is the this is what we live in, and it's taking your energy. It's taking your time. You're creating that life. There, that's where the little word no that can come in some circumstances. You find yourself not living up to the no, going ahead and doing those texts with your kids anyway. But there's a point where you just kind of have to keep practicing. No, no. Pick up the phone and talk it. Say it. I want to hear your voice. I need one more clue as to what I'm dealing with, because texts mean nothing. They're the written word. And I'm creating the scenario behind that written word. Now, sometimes it can be like, do not ever text me again, or do not, you know, or if somebody is, you know, inappropriately has your number, you know, of course. So there's things that you can do. All right. So now we're going to go from that into the bigger picture. What does that have to do with your future and your present? Well, it has a lot to do with it. And it has a lot to do with that conversation I had. Because everything you will ever know, everything that you need, you have in you before you were born. Not intellectual knowledge. But as I've pointed out before, you have physics in you. You do. You know there's a point where you don't. There's a point where you want to be up on a ledge or a roof and you want to jump off, and you do it and it hurts, or you get some broken bones. That's why it's so great that we're babies, because you're a little softer then. But that changes as you get knowledge. But you get knowledge not because you went to a physics class on why you shouldn't jump off the roof. You got physics knowledge because pretty soon you knew that, I jumped off of the chair and it hurt my knee. So therefore, if I jump off something higher, and I do, and I did, and I broke my arm, maybe I won't go any higher than that. And that's physics. You're figuring it out. It's not all the same to you. A 2-foot stool is not the same as a 2-story building. That's physics. And why wouldn't you just get up there like a flea, jump up and jump off? Because that's physics. You already have that inside of you, and you don't even need a class. So you really do have this. You have the nuances, and you learn from those around you. You're very malleable, or you would not survive, and you need a little help along the way. Well, why then, if that's true, and that coincides so beautifully with God, I make all things new. Everything I can do, you can do, Peter. You can walk on the water. Yes, there are miracles in our world, because when I go, says Christ, you guys get to do miracles. You can cure the ill. You can raise the dead. Now, is that true or isn't it true? Is it only metaphor or isn't it only metaphor? I am not a theologian, but I do know that I do believe that miracles happened. And as I was saying in an earlier part of this program, we wish that we could say, yeah, it's all, you know, it's the more you pray and the more you follow this religion, the more likely you are to be open, the more likely this stuff is going to happen. Well, that doesn't seem to pan out in studies anyway, that people of all different backgrounds, all different levels of faith, no faith, have these, quote, miracle cures. And a lot of it has, they're trying to figure out, well, why does that happen? It's happened throughout time. And it's not the kind that necessarily even makes the news. But we know people. I've known people. I've seen people. And those before me have stories to tell of people they've seen who are diagnosed with cancer, and it's borne out through repeated testing. And for whatever reason, they come in 2 weeks, 3 months, and it's gone. Don't know why. Well, there's a lot of reasons that could be, but I want to focus on what it is that you are, if you declare in your mind and body that something is fact. Is it true that you actually will create your future? I know that sounds new agey, but it really isn't. If you are certain, now it doesn't mean this is 100% that this is going to happen, so don't get fearful. You could be afraid something's going to happen. That's not the same as just accepting it is going to, which goes to my conversation with an acquaintance of my friend who happened to get tested for an early onset Alzheimer's gene. Now, we also know that people have genes We used to think that genes determined you completely, that they're non-mutable, they're non-modifiable unless you get a virus or a really bad illness or unless you're exposed to some toxin, and then it can break. But that if you happen to have these genes, just like you happen to have brown hair or green eyes, that it's a done deal. Well, the done deals of your life, even the done deal of your belief in your genetics, can determine your present, how you conduct yourself in the present, and how you will live in the future. And it's up to us to find ways to modify that, to put our beliefs into action, the words we say that we do believe in the supernatural, that we do, and that's supernatural. It's supernatural, right? It's above us. It's beyond us. It's cooler than us. And it can do things we can't do. So we don't want to say, yeah, we believe that, but if my genetics say it, I'm locked into this. Well, you're not necessarily locked into that. You just aren't. You'll have certain things that occur, certain things, obviously the physical manifestations. But there are many people out there who have all kinds of genetic cards stacked against them. That age-old thing that a lot of pro-lifers use about Beethoven, you know, that so many people in his family were just really messed up. And then, boom, here comes Beethoven. So who knew? So let's talk about this on the other side of the break. See how we can change for a better future and better today. This is Dr. Michelle.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am Dr. Michelle. You're with me on Dr. Michelle Live. 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. Now, how does this help us knowing that our genes are malleable, more malleable than we thought? Our brains, we once thought that once we reach a certain time, I mean, really, up until recently, I was even taught this, up until very recently, in fact, I think just several months ago, it was like news, that once we were a certain age, that our brains were pretty much formed, that they just kind of stopped. And yes, we didn't, we only used a very small percentage. And we did acknowledge that there were those people of all different ages, if they had brain injuries, that some of them found other pathways in which to do the same things. People with strokes. I read something recently where someone with a stroke and had not been able to, I think, walk for like 10 years, walked. Didn't just get up and run away, but something kept occurring in them. Change, little, over time. Now, how can we use and harness that information to help us on our way? Well, one, we have a little bit of an advantage if you have a faith base, because you do believe in the supernatural. You do believe in things unseen. That's faith. And it's not so far-fetched, you who are listening to me on a wireless device. You don't see the wires. And even if you could, you don't see the little electrons jumping up and down, running around like little Oompa Doompa men, getting the just the perfect electrical force to your little apparatus that comes out and does some kind of little magical dance and comes out my voice. You believe that's happening. You believe that you're listening to someone. You believe that you're listening to Dr. Michelle. You believe that you bought this app What's the app? Do you have it in your hand? You have the device in your hand, but you just bought something that you can't see. So why are you buying things that you can't see? And why are you ignoring other things that you can't see? Well, we want to develop this a lot. I want to develop this a lot because I want it for me too. It's one thing looking at people that go, gee, I wonder if this is the case. And they make studies and then they give us conclusions. Look at this. And even they can't deal with it. It's like someone who I've read studies where people dissect what makes something funny. And the people who do the study are the most humorless people you ever want to meet. I've met some of them. They couldn't tell a joke to save their life. But they can tell you why something makes you laugh, why it makes them laugh. They just look at it and they just dissect it out. They know where in the brain it happens, how it happens, why it happens, why it's funny in one generation, it's not funny in the next. I mean, this is just, it's just, it's truly mind-boggling. So when you declare, so says a gentleman named Dr. Joe Dispenza, when you declare in your mind and body anything, I am a bad presenter. This is from his book called Placebo, I think it is. Oh, you are the placebo, I think. Making your mind matter. And basically what he says is your mind does matter and your mind is matter. That what you think, you become. Now, that I don't want you to think that's New Age mumbo jumbo. It really is not. We're told that. It's an ancient thought. It's ancient. Very, very ancient. We are very ethereal beings locked in, not even locked in, but living in, dwelling in these little clay vessels. Wasn't that one of the readings yesterday? The clay vessel. We're clay vessels and we get gray hairs. And, you know, I mean, you may or may not be genetically programmed to either maybe in a generic way be gray at a certain age, not gray. I know someone whose whole family's gray at 25. Well, okay. Some people will never get gray, which is rare, but they don't. So, you know, yeah, these things all make us look a certain way. We pass them down, but they are very modifiable. They're modifiable by pesticides. They're modifiable by viruses and bacteria. They're modified by the food you eat. They're modified by the plastics you're around. They're modified by the things you breathe. Every single thing where you are brought up will modify you. From your physical outward appearance to when the day that how you're going to die. It just will. You cannot control all these factors because while you're living in your little house, someone else is living in their little house and they're designing ways to make pesticides or to make something that we will say, hey, this is great. I can now buy fruit all year long. Or I don't have to pay $10 for an apple because I don't have to worry about the trees all being contaminated with blight. These are things that we have to know. We have trade-offs and payoffs, and we don't always forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. We really don't know what we're doing until 30, 40, 50 years down the line, just like when they did the big atomic bomb, which seems like, you know, stuff of old 1950 movies now. But when they did the atomic bomb, they just thought, oh, well, hey, that's a big blast. We'll just put this little piece of glass up here and we'll be fine. Or they said, well, you know, maybe it is real dangerous, so we'll just go way out in Nevada somewhere. Well, they found out in a few years all the sheep are dying and then all the kids have leukemia. So, and not all of them, but, you know, so we have to know that, yes, we can do massive things. So it's both and. It's never either or. But you have, by repetition and by rehearsing those things in your head, I'm not outspoken. I'm not or I'm a bad person, or I can't do math. I am a living example of I can't do math. My sister, who was older, a lot older than me, was from the group of girls who were told in Catholic schools, you will never, literally someone told them this sentence, you will never need to know any more math than what you would find in a cookbook. So we're not going to worry so much about that. We're going to do the writing and all that kind of thing. They really felt, I'm not downing them. They didn't know better. That's what they were taught. And I wasn't quite that product, but I was a product of, yeah, girls just don't. I was told in high school that we really didn't have to worry if we did not do well in math. And so here I'm thinking, I can't do math. To this day, I think I can't do math. And yet I tutored math. And yet I did have to go through all kinds of college math to get into medical school. And in fact, I had to do math all the time in medical school. You had to convert all kinds of little things and how kidneys work and medications. So I'm good at math, but I don't know that. I still would say to this day, I'm limiting myself without any evidence. In fact, tons of evidence to the contrary. I can't do math. I'm no good at math. And isn't it funny, ha ha, ironic, that I could actually tutor it and do all the math I needed to do up through physics and biochemistry and all that, and yet I can't do math. Well, what am I saying? No, I'm limiting myself. So I want to get into that this week, because you are limiting yourself. And we have actual studies. This gentleman, Dr. Dispenza, put together a lot of information, and he's making his living off of this. However, I think I'd like a lot of things that he says. I may not love everything or some of his conclusions. However, he's right on the money that we, as he says, one could say you're enslaved by your body because it has now become the mind, that you're trapped by the conditions in your environment because the experiences of people and things at a certain place and time are influencing how you think, act, and feel. And you're lost in time because by living in the past and anticipating the same future, your mind and body are never in the present moment. So in order to change your current state of being, you'd have to be greater than these three elements: your body, your environment, and time. So, but basically what he ends up saying is that he's not saying, well, so therefore it's impossible. What he's saying is that really you kind of are. That you need to know that you get conditioned through your environment, that you learn to expect what your environment has been proving, then you become that, quote, self-fulfilled prophecy. And then you expect it, and then you add meaning to it. So let's say you expect a certain outcome, that text again, or you expect that you have a certain genetic marker, so you expect that you're going to get this particular disease, even though other science tells you, no, you got a chance. And even if you had a strong chance, there's still a chance you won't have the disease. And there's a lot of factors in there, because we see it in identical twin studies that people brought up in different environments, different situations. They have the exact same genetics. You're not necessarily locked into your genetics, but it's a very, very, very frightening field to tread in, because we might say that, but something in us wants to know. We want to read the future. Not that that's a bad thing, but we want to read the future as far as our genetics go, or we think it's a fun parlor game, and then we get something back. What do we do with that? We won't be able to answer that today. But I want to look at it not so much in what you're going to do physically for any physical ailments that you might be genetically predisposed for, but that you have to understand that you actually, God gives you faith, and that faith in making things new means making things new, making everything that you already knew is inside of you, that you need to know is inside of you, and that we put that aside in favor of these little boxes we create in our mind. So we're going to continue this week, because the news is good. You are eligible. You are modifiable, and you can be made new. So we're going to talk about that this week. Please email me, DMLive, redboxmedia.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.